Blog Talk Radio.
Much less detail the podcast. Friday night, September 27, 2013. I'm Dre. He's Jay. We are back on the air. NFL week four about to get underway in a couple of days. And Jason, we got some picks to make. 15 games, including that game last night.
Well, you don't sound so excited about that one. Something wrong?
My stomach is still a little upset from watching that game.
Ugh. Yeah, I could see where somebody who had picked the Rams to win. Did you have the Rams to win that game? And we could always go back and check the tape.
Look, man, I said I didn't have a lot of confidence in that game. All right, that's all I can say.
Look, I'm not going to rub it in. That's the first Thursday night game I've won this year so far, so I'm 1-3 now on Thursday night. So I'm just happy to have escaped with a victory and not go into every week 0-1 for the week. So I am just extremely satisfied that San Francisco decided to take complete advantage of the crappy St. Louis running defense, because I don't think San Francisco played that great of a game, but they were definitely better than what was on the other side of the field. The Rams looked lost.
It pissed me off. The Rams came out hungry, too. They looked like they were ready to compete. They looked like they were ready to put up a fight. And then, like, the talent level just kind of took over, and all of a sudden San Francisco had a 35-11 victory, and it was terrible. And I should have never picked the Rams to begin with.
Well, so I'll tell you what excited me coming off of that win last night, and I'm looking at the picks this week I'm going to make, and I'm going to make all these great upset picks, and I'm really going to just go all at it this week and really think these picks through and have some reasons. Like we were talking about, you have stats and I have reasons. I don't really get too deep. I think anybody who's listening to this show knows I don't really go into the stats like you do. But, damn it, we agree on way too many games this week. I don't want to give too much away, but we disagreed on 10 and 8 and 7, and I think this week we've managed to disagree, not counting last night, on 4. So this is kumbaya this week. We're just in lockstep this week. So we're totally fucked.
It looks like 5 I'm counting up that we disagreed on this week, because we thought it was going to be 4, and then that Monday night game, which I was totally surprised by your angle on it. We'll get to all that coming up in this show.
What?
Like you said, you have reason and I have stats, so I thought the reason would take over on all the picks, but. We both have some surprises in here, let's put it that way. Our three highlight games we want to talk about. We'll start off with the Seattle Seahawks, the consensus best team in the National Football League, the Houston Texans not. Seattle goes down to the Texans as a one-point road favorite. Jason, you kind of surprised me going, this is one of our 5 picks that we disagreed on, and you kind of surprised me coming out of the gate with your take on this one, so lay it on me.
I've got the Houston Texans to win this game, which I know is a shock to you, being that you have picked the Houston Texans against the spread 3 times this year and come away with a stunning 0-3. So in perfect, in much less detail fashion, you managed to jump right off a team, and I'll jump right back on and ride them to the victory. I think that Seattle, they destroyed San Francisco. Then they followed that up by destroying Jacksonville, which is not quite as impressive. But now they get to go on the road. We know they're not traditionally a great road team. They went to Carolina, which I know that's just that East Coast swing that they don't ever fare so well in, and they did manage to escape with the win, and I did not discount them for that. But Houston is not a great team, but Houston is a good team, and it's a good team that just went to Baltimore and just got thoroughly embarrassed. So I think Houston's mad. I think Seattle's hasn't had a challenging game in 2 weeks now, because basically playing Jacksonville, that's like an extra bye week. So all these teams that get Jacksonville on the schedule just get an extra week to just rest, because you don't really have to do much. I don't think there's a lot of game planning involved. We're playing the Jags this week? Just show up on Sunday, guys. Don't even practice. Really like Houston here. I know it's an upset, quote-unquote upset, because Seattle is a one-point favorite. Houston's gonna show up. That is a very talented team that just never quite measure up to their talent. I expect them to play up to the level of their competition here and send Seattle home 3-1.
That would be an upset if they did that. The Houston has not played up to their talent all damn year, starting right off from the beginning of the year in San Diego, where they should have lost that game because they got so thoroughly outplayed the first three quarters. I don't know what Houston has done all year, but I've got stats this week. I'll be laying a lot of numbers down because I'm desperate. I'm trying to figure out a way to get some wins. You mentioned the 0-3 against Houston, for me picking Houston against the spread so far this year. I'm embarrassed to say that that's only 10% of my losses, because I got 30 fucking losses on the season. So, three losses with Houston, so what? That's almost no sweat off my back. But what I did say about Houston is that I'm through with them until they show me some heart. Now, if they show me some heart on Sunday, that will be a major showing. This is the best team in the league right now, the Seattle Seahawks. Some would argue maybe the Denver Broncos. But as far as overall, it's hard to argue that Seattle is the best team in football. So if Houston wants to show up and show some heart against that team, go ahead and do it. But this is sort of almost my logic reasoning against along with the numbers, because the logic would say Seattle is the best team in the league and Houston has shown no heart so far this year despite having a 2-1 record. So sort of logically, I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. And I actually think it'll be a tight game too. Houston's been playing low-scoring games. Well, when they played Baltimore, they played a low-scoring game. I guess San Diego wasn't so much low-scoring, but Seattle, of course, can hold anybody down as far as the points go. But maybe the best defense in the league. And Matt Schaub hasn't shown the heart to fight through the tough defense like that. Andre Johnson is slowing down a little bit. I don't want to say he's completely finished, but he has definitely lost a step. And I just don't see Houston fighting through and coming away with the victory. The stat that I can go to for this one is, this is actually something I observed before I saw the stat, that Russell Wilson for Seattle, he loves to go deep when he's somewhere near the middle of the field. He just lets it go. He doesn't care. He will launch it to, and it doesn't matter what the receiver's name is. It's a no name. It's Sidney Rice. It's Golden Tate. It's somebody you never heard of. He doesn't care. He will go for the big bomb. I was shocked to see that Seattle is averaging 9.8 yards per pass attempt so far this year. That is an amazing stat for a team that you don't really think of as, an aerial attack team. So I think that Russell Wilson will come out, get to that 50-yard line, you're ready to sling some deep balls and connect on a couple in the end zone, and that might be all you need against Houston the way they're playing right now, because they have not dealt well with adversity at all. So I'll take Seattle in a relatively low-scoring tight contest. Should be a nice, good physical battle, but I like the Seahawks in this one. I know you're stunned with the stat that I brought up. You with your logic and me with my numbers, do you have any opinion at all on that stat, or anomalies?
No, that's a great stat. I know that's going to be a little bit skewed against Jacksonville. I know that Russell Wilson threw for over 200 yards, but he did not attempt many passes, so his yards per attempt in that game were through the roof. But they had that game. I mean, that game, he didn't play most of that game because I think Tavarius Jackson was in there already in the third quarter because they had Jacksonville so well handled. But Russell Wilson only attempted maybe 22 passes. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. And completed a good number of them. But he threw for, 220, 230 yards. So he had a really good yards per attempt. But no, you are correct. That Seattle, they get to that 40, 50-yard line, and Russell Wilson, well, he throws a great deep ball. I mean, he's even in college, because I got to see him play here in Wisconsin for that 1 year, loves throwing down the field. And he's fairly accurate down the field, which is, there's a lot of guys who can throw the ball deep, but can the guys get under it and catch it? And he gets the, he puts it on target. He's a short guy, but he gets the loft down there. He really rainbows that down there. Nice. So he's got the good arm. He's accurate down the field. You just got to have the guys out there in the position to do it. In this game, the situation, I like Houston.
Okay, fair enough. So that's one of the few games, the five games remaining that we disagree on. For our two highlight games remaining, we're going prime time for both of them, the Sunday night and the Monday nighter. The Sunday night one we agree on, New England and Atlanta. New England 3-0, the offense looking so not impressive so far this year, but it's been good enough. And Atlanta at 1-2, their offense looking pretty impressive, but not even as good as it could with Roddy White not playing at his top level yet. So you got two offenses here that could be even better than they are. I really got some surprising stats on this one. We're both taking Atlanta. Atlanta is a one-point home favorite against the undefeated New England Patriots. So the oddsmakers think this is also going to be a very interesting, very tight game. This is going to blow your mind, Jason. The great Tom Brady, New England and the great Tom Brady, they're averaging 5.5 yards per pass attempt. That's unheard of. They are always up in the top echelon of yards per pass attempt. But this is what happens when half your passes get dropped and the other half, the other half goes behind receivers. Because as we've documented, it's not all Tom Brady's fault that New England's passing game is not what it used to be. It's partially Tom Brady's. He has not been as good as he could be. And it's partially the receivers who are young and trying to figure out the offense. But 5.5 yards per pass attempt is astonishing. To see that under New England's name just dropped my jaw. So I'm still a believer in general in New England figuring their way out and being the Patriots offense that we're used to towards the end of the year, maybe. They got it together enough last week, but that was playing against Tampa Bay, who, as we know, is completely crap right now. Atlanta, for all their difficulties, for all their inabilities to put their foot on people's throats and finish big leads, they're not crap. They should have a nice lead. They should have a come out of the gate strong. They impressed me last week with the running. Steven Jackson not playing, but they were able to get a nice day from both Jason Snelling and Jacquizz Rodgers. So I was impressed that they were able to find some running room with those guys. I didn't think they would be able to pick up the slack, but they did. So we're both going to take Atlanta. You pretty much heard my reasons right there. My stat was how little Tom Brady and the Patriots offense is averaging as far as yardage. If they can get it together and go into Atlanta and pick up a big victory, that would be impressive, but I'm not betting on that to happen.
Yeah, a couple of reasons why I like Atlanta here. One, I think they're incredibly desperate. They've lost those two games pretty horrible fashion. They had first and goal to win the game against the Saints, and they couldn't do it. Then they get crushed with a last-second touchdown, doing the thing that they couldn't. Miami comes down the field needing a touchdown. And a field goal would have sent it into overtime, but they just said, screw that. We're going to score the touchdown and just beat you guys and send you back. And so winning in all three games, you know, just as easily could be a team that would be 2-1 or 3-0. So it's a good team. I think they've got a little bit of bruised pride right now. I think they're thinking that they should be in a better situation than they are. The only way they're going to get better is to go out there and put one on New England, do it in prime time, show everybody that you're not, you know, back to being the Falcons of old, and I think they're going to show up for this game. You are correct, Jason Snelling and Jacquizz Rodgers. It's a nice little 1-2 punch, but that's a team that's not going to try to run you into submission. That they want to throw it. They want to throw it to Julio Jones, and they want Matt Ryan to hit Tony Gonzalez, who's been absent so far this year. I would expect to see him quite a bit on Sunday night, because, you know, on Sunday night football, that's all they're going to talk about is the great Tony Gonzalez. So look for him to have a big game. Talking about Brady and the Patriots and how inaccurate and how out of sync that Brady's been with those receivers, that's going to come back to get him. That Atlanta secondary isn't very good, but they'll catch the balls that you throw at them. So I would actually expect to see a few of those balls get tipped or picked. You know, they'll let you get the yardage, but don't be surprised if you see a ball or two coming back the other way, really flip the field position and actually put Atlanta, like they did against Denver last year. They just kind of waited around on Peyton Manning. If you put the ball on those secondary players for Atlanta, and they'll catch it, and they will, you know, they're not just going to do the stone hand secondary routine. So they throw the ball right at them. They'll make the plays. They won't get pressure on Brady. They just do not do anything to scare you up front. So, you know, they're going to drop guys back into coverage and hope that he's out of sync with those receivers. And I think he will be. I mean, they played a nice game against Tampa, but we're quickly finding out who Tampa is. They're on the way to just being completely done, if they're not done already. And we've got a couple. I believe Pittsburgh was the team I proclaimed done first. I did that in week one. They've lived up to that billing. And I hereby proclaim Tampa is done, meaning anything that anybody's done against Tampa Bay doesn't count. You can't use anything that has happened in a game against the Buccaneers as a reason why your team is good, because they're just garbage. Not to the point where they're not Jacksonville bad, where Jacksonville's just horrendous. Tampa Bay is a team that should be good and isn't, kind of like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's old and done, but there's still talented players on that team. They just, for whatever reason, they can't put anything together. So, yeah, it was great. Tom Brady threw a couple touchdowns to Kenbrell Tompkins, and that Dobson kid started catching some balls. Nobody knows who the hell these guys are. And I don't think Brady's going to make these guys into stars. So I think if Atlanta's got anything left, pride, usually you don't want to be that team that goes, like, loses the first two games. They cannot afford to go 1-3. Just a desperation feel for them. They need to get to 2-2 so that they can start thinking about getting to the playoffs. Because you get to 1-3, forget about thinking about playoffs. You just got to start getting, then you got to get to 3-3. That's even harder. So win this one and start moving on.
You know, Washington's another team that's, you know, better than what their record and what their numbers would indicate. And I bring them up just because Atlanta's secondary, you were talking about them. Washington's secondary reminds me of Atlanta's secondary, where just trying to play a scheme and cover guys the right way, they're not so good at that because they're such individuals. They're always trying to make plays on the ball, and it winds up costing them. They wind up getting toasted. But if you throw the ball right to them, they're going to catch it. They're going to go to the house. So, yeah, I can see Tom Brady giving up a pick six and losing the game, trying to be too fine and throw the ball too perfectly as well. Should bring up that you can find some rumors out there that both Danny Amendola and Rob Gronkowski will play for New England in this game, but really hard to confirm. Of course, it's Bill Belichick, so it's hard to confirm anything. But just a heads up that one or both of them might be out there for New England. And, you know, if they are, that might make a different story. But as of now, there's no way to really confirm that they're anywhere close to playing. So I would act as if they're not going to, because that's what it would seem to be. And the Monday night game, our third highlight game, would be the Miami Dolphins and the New Orleans Saints. It's the only battle of undefeateds this week, and I don't know if anyone would have predicted that, considering how bad New Orleans defense was last year and how mediocre Miami has been all these years. But it's 3-0 Miami, it's 3-0 New Orleans, and the betting public knows what they like. They like New Orleans. Miami is a 6.5-point dog at New Orleans. Jason, who's your pick?
I like Miami. I like Miami here. Not quite so sure I can take them to win. I just think that the 6.5 is a lot. Nobody's really, you know, putting that scare into Miami. They're not beating people down, but they're sort of, to me, a little bit more explosive Kansas City. They're playing smart football, good solid defense, great defensive line, one of the better ones out there. They can get after the quarterback. Mike Wallace is sort of that missing element that they had. Ryan Tannehill is much improved. I know this is sort of like a theme. Every time we talk about Miami, we kind of talk about the same things. But they're not going to go out there. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to kind of just hang around. You're not going to be able to just run out in front of this team and just keep them down. So that's why I talk about them as being a little bit more explosive, Kansas City. Kansas City, I think, if you could get away from them potentially. They just so far haven't let anybody do it, but they're not going to blow anybody's doors off. Miami can put up the points. So Miami can hang with those teams that can potentially score a lot of points. So that's why I like Miami here. Pretty simple.
Well, pretty simple for me. I like New Orleans here to cover that big number. I think they can blow Miami's doors off, and I think it's going to come down to pass protection. And I got stats, of course, to back that up going either way. I guess not really a stat for Miami that Cameron Wake is injured and will not play. And he's by far Miami's best pass rusher. And I think that makes such a big difference because Drew Brees just with time back there to pick apart any secondary is just going to do it. It doesn't matter who you send out there against him. If you give him time, he will slice and dice you. And then on the other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill, he's had to make some comebacks. He's had to stand there and in the pocket and throw downfield and take some hits. He's already been sacked 14 times this year. Now, New Orleans defense is not all of a sudden the best in the league, but they are definitely improved so far through 3 weeks under Rob Ryan, not Rex Ryan, as I said before, but Rob Ryan. He's got them coming after guys. He's got them pressuring the ball, and Miami's line has not protected Tannehill very well this year. Now, that might improve as the season goes on, but I think New Orleans is ready to get after them, and I think they're ready to put a big whooping on Miami and send a statement out to the league in prime time for Sean Payton and Drew Brees in case the league didn't know that they're back and they're ready to be a big contender in the NFC. I think they're ready for the statement game to make a point for everybody to see. And with that, we now move on to the rest of this week's picks. In much less detail. Jason, you're up.
Well, we've got Cincinnati's a 3.5-point road favorite at the Cleveland Browns that have a win now. Can you believe it? They won a game after we made fun of Brian Hoyer, and Cleveland went out and won the game. So you know what that means we've got, right? You know what that means? We've got that thing that in medical terms you would never want to have. We've got brown fever.
Ew.
This sounds terrible. It's what you get when you pick the Browns. You get the old brown fever. And, we just think Cincinnati's going to kind of go back to their old ways and find new ways to trip over themselves, and they're going to do it at Cleveland, a divisional game. Brown fever, baby.
Bears in Detroit, another division game in the NFC North. The undefeated Chicago Bears going to Detroit as a 3-point dog. It's the old home team 3-point spread, and that shows what the public thinks so far of the Bears. They don't trust him too much. We're going to take the Bears. We can't really see why you would go against the Bears the way they played the first 3 weeks. What else can they show you? They did it. They've done it at home. They've done it from behind. They've done it on the road at night. During the day, any way you can slice it, the Bears have figured out a way to get victories so far this year, and the Detroit Lions ready to be stupid and trip up and give somebody a victory that they're always ready to do that. So no reason to think they're not going to find a way to do something stupid, take a dumb penalty, and choke up the victory to the Bears in this game, even though Detroit's at home.
Baltimore is a 3-point road favorite at Buffalo this week, and Andre is going to take that Baltimore defense that has not allowed an offensive touchdown the last 2 weeks. Pretty impressive, but I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills, and not because I really like the Buffalo Bills, it's because nothing says Baltimore more than stunning win at home against Houston and then going on the road the next week and losing a game that they should easily win, because that's just so Ravens.
Yeah, that would be so Ravens. Giants in Kansas City, you can't get too much different than 0-3 versus 3-0, and therefore you would think the spread would be huge, but no, the public thinks the Giants have some fight in them. The Giants are only a 4-point underdog at Kansas City, and we love the New York football Giants to finally bounce back, show some stones. I like them to get the victory, Jason, not necessarily to win. Jason just likes the Giants to play better ball than they have. You can't play much worse. KC's flawless football, that's got to stop somewhere. They can't just keep making these games out of paper cloth almost, where they just can't make any errors and they delicately put together a victory. That's got to come to an end somewhere along the way. And I've got one more thing to say about why I like the Giants. Three members of that offensive line should be out for this game. Chris Need, David Deal, David Boss, or is it Kevin Boss? I'm not sure. That's a good thing. The way the Giants offensive line has been playing, that's good that they're going to be out, because whoever replaces them can't be any worse at blocking than those guys have. So that's why I like the Giants to win.
Live from London, we both like the Minnesota Vikings +3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the first proclaimed done team in football. Christian Ponder is out for the Vikings. Matt Castle is in. One's a real quarterback. The other one's not playing. So we will take the Minnesota Vikings. I know, Andre, it pained you. You wanted to take Pittsburgh. I could feel you struggling with this pick before we went on air. But we're both going to take the Minnesota Vikings to send the Steelers packing. And with the 0-4 Pittsburgh Steelers, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't, but sometimes it falls apart that easily. We both like Arizona to go to Tampa Bay. Arizona's a 1-point underdog for some unknown reason at Tampa Bay. That's a tire fire right now down in Tampa. I don't see how you can take Tampa Bay. They're starting Mike Glennon, the rookie. We can't say anything bad about him because we've never seen him play before. So we'll just say it's Mike Glennon and it's Tampa Bay, and got to go with Arizona in this spot. Tampa Bay, they look ready to quit on their coach, their college coach, Greg Schiano. They may be the first FedEx mail-it-in team of the year. That's different from a team that's done. A team that's done, they can't really help it, but a mail-it-in team, that's a team that's quit on their coach and has given up on the season. Tampa Bay might be ready for that role.
Mike Glennon is a future Hall of Famer. I don't want to jinx our pick. We both like the Tennessee Titans, 3.5-point favorites this week against the New York Jets. We like that the Greg Williams bounty will be in full effect on Geno Smith, which you know will make the Titans secondary the quicker picker offer.
I can't follow that up with anything more than that. Indianapolis and Jacksonville. I like Indy squish. They're a 9.5-point road favorite. Jacksonville is the worst team in football by any metric you could possibly find. Ahmad Bradshaw will not play, but that's okay because they got Trent Richardson. If they didn't have him, there might be a little bit of a different story, but I just like Indy squish. There's some mousetraps that you can find in the locker room in Indianapolis, because Coach Chuck Pagano set out actual mousetraps to try to remind his team all week not to fall into the trap. Jason thinks that's going to make them fall into the trap, because why would you warn your team about falling into a trap unless you think they're going to fall into a trap? So Jason is actually taking the Jaguars with the points, but obviously not necessarily to win.
Yeah, I think Greg Schiano, I'm not Greg Schiano, I think Chuck Pagano's actually psyching his own team out. I don't know if that's possible. We both like Washington and RG3. Can't say Washington and not say RG3. It's word association. This 3-point road favorites at Oakland, as shocking as that sounds, we both like Washington and RG3. Again, word association. Can't say one without the other, to take advantage of Oakland's horrible secondary and defense and get away with a win here.
I have absolutely no good reason to take the Philadelphia Eagles plus 10.5 at the Denver Broncos. Peyton's perfection versus Philly's pace. Peyton is just playing so well, Peyton Manning, leading the Broncos up and down the field all three games so far this year, setting records. I want Philly to win. I can do it just because, too. Jason has his just because. I got my just because. I'll take Philly to win just because. The only game they have won this year, they were on the road. They surprised the other team with their pace. They got the job done. Maybe this will happen this time against Denver. Okay, maybe not, but I'll still take Philly and the points at least. Jason, just how can you go with Philadelphia? When I actually told him I had the Eagles, he actually did an actual spit take, not just a comical spit. He actually spit in laughter at me taking the Eagles. So that's about all the justification Jason needs for his pick.
Yes. Dallas, 1-point road favorite at San Diego, are perennial contenders for stupidest team in football. Both of these teams right here. And we both like the San Diego Chargers. We just think Dallas might be a little overconfident, and that's not a talented enough team to be feeling their oats. So we like San Diego to escape in a hard-fought win, but definitely to beat Dallas here. And since you have the new man crush on the San Diego Chargers, this week they're going to go win.
The new England Patriots, baby, the San Diego Chargers. That's right. Or maybe not. That'll do it for this week. Week 4 picks are in the books. They will be up on the blog shortly. That blog site is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. You can email the show, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre. Jason's at IMLDJTG. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail. Look for Scott Norwood's smiling mug. If you did subscribe on iTunes and you got here and you're listening to the show on podcast on delay, and you're trying to figure out how do you listen to the show live, that's easy. You can go to our show page, which will be blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. And the show will be right there for you whenever we are doing a live show. You can even click a button up there that will remind you when we are going live. Usually live is Wednesday and Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central. It's been Friday night, 10 p.m. Central, the last couple of weeks. It'll be Friday night, 10 p.m. Central again next week. But usually it's Wednesday and Saturday night. Wednesday for our recap show, Saturday night for our picks. So that'll do it. Next week, Wednesday for the recap as usual. And like I said, Friday night once again for our picks for week 5. We're already through 4 weeks in the NFL. It goes by quick. I'm Dre, he's Jay. Thanks for listening in. This podcast is copyrighted. We will see you next week. And good luck on your picks this week, everybody. See you.